The inspirational word from Dr. David Miller before the show begins.
You know what? Your time is limited, so don't waste it living somebody else's life.
The Faith Connection Show has expanded its territory. Every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., it's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify, TuneIn, UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go.
It's the Faith Connection.
Hey, Faith Connection Show would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show.
We have in the studio with us today Meredith DeLory. And Meredith DeLory runs a program in the Charlotte area, a fantastic program. And I met her at an event, and I was impressed with her program. She has a program called Running Works, and that program is designed to help homeless people get on their feet. And it's uniquely done, something that I've never seen before, is done with long-distance running. And so it's just great having Meredith with us today, because I wanted her to talk about her program. And most of all, many of us have challenges in life, and Meredith have come through so many struggles, and to look at her, you'd never know that she's been through what she's been through. Meredith, it's good to have you with us in the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the introduction.
Well, you know, we want to begin a little bit now. Academically, you graduated from Vanderbilt College.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your history.
So I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was, can't see me right now, but I'm a kind of a spunky little redheaded kid. And I, my parents kept me in sports to keep me out of trouble, which is sort of the genesis of our program as well. So, I was always a, kind of a smart kid and would always get into a little bit of trouble too, because I'm a little stinker. So they put me in sports at a very young age and found that I was good at tennis. And that's how I ended up getting a full ride to Vanderbilt. I played tennis there. I also played at UCLA and transferred to Vanderbilt. But, sports have always been a way out for me, a great outlet. The values accrued through sports, discipline, confidence, teamwork, self-respect, respect for others were really something that kept me out of trouble from a very young age. So that's, also kind of the genesis for Running Works. And that's how the homeless stay out of trouble with us.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about the program, because there's so much to tell about it. I've seen some interviews that you did or where they highlighted your program on CBS, and it was amazing to see the things, the transformations that have taken place with your program. Now, your program is then located in three counties, Mecklenburg County, Rowan County, and York, South Carolina, I think?
Correct, yes. Okay. And that's really because we want to hit all of the demographics. So our demographic really is age 6 all the way to our oldest member is 68 years old. And I am also in recovery, so we're hitting the Charlotte Rescue Mission's Dove's Nest Women in Recovery Program, where they're inpatient, and that's near and dear to my heart. We're at Rowan Helping Ministries in Salisbury, and then we work with kids in DSS custody. We have 45 children at, many people know the Children's Attention Home, but many people do not know that they have a charter school on site where the kids that are in three little cottages, kindergarten to eighth grade, go to school. So my vision is that sports are the way out, and we're a sport for social change program. We actually teach PE there as part of their school day, and it's not just a running program. We're teaching a traditional PE curriculum, you know, soccer, disc golf, basketball, with a life skill program following that, in addition to our regular program that we have at our Running Works headquarters at 901 North Tryon. And, you know, that's the crux of the program. That's the nuts and bolts, where we have 40 to 50 homeless men and women that who bring in their children as well, who can be as young as 5 and some babies sometimes. Actually, we had some babies there today. We had a 6-year-old. We had a 5-year-old. We had a 3-year-old who came with his grandma. And I love that because we get a lot of that in the summer. And we do life skills following every one of the runs, every one of the walks.
What do you do with the kids when the kids?
The 6-year-old ran with me today.
Oh, my goodness.
He was loving it.
Really?
Until about the last, you know, half mile, and then his head started snapping off. But I love that when that happens, to be honest, because mm-hmm. that's when I teach them the same things I taught my kids, that can't is not in the vocabulary. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And these things, I'm telling you, they remember. We have kids that have been in our program now for 5 and 6 years, and they spit that back out at me. Mm-hmm. And even if I'm having a bad day, they're no. You know, Aunt Mayor, can't is not in the vocabulary. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm getting this all back, you know.
Now, your day job, you work for Charlotte Country Day, is that right?
I do. And that's really from June through November mm-hmm. In the afternoons. In the summer, we do that in the morning. So mm-hmm. summer practice starts in June. Mm-hmm. And we have practice 3 days a week with the kids that are in high school, 9th through 12th grade. And we have about 50 of them on our team, boys and girls. So I love working with them. And it's really something I haven't been able to give up. It's my 8th year. And I can't give it up. These kids are so awesome, and it's great to develop them, you know, using kind of the same core values that we do with Running Works, the same ones I mentioned before. And it gets hairy during the school year. You know, once August rolls around, we take them to camp in Blowing Rock, and then it's helter skelter, because Running Works for me is 7 days a week.
Okay.
Kind of 24/7, and every afternoon I have to be at Country Day by 3:30, and I'm there till 6,
now,
and then we're racing on the weekends. So.
Now, tell me something. How long have you been running?
How long have I been running? So I played tennis, like I said, full time mm-hmm. from the time I was 8 years old. You know, I started winning tournaments at about 8 years old, and I would play 8 hours a day. But as part, you know, because I was a little crazy, a little extra. I do some public speaking, and I always talk about how extra I was as a kid. I mean, I was making charts at 8 years old about, you know, my physical fitness to train for tennis, and I was running. You know, I won my first 10K in the 6th grade running, and there was a Runner's World article where I'm talking about that and how I knew I could run mm-hmm. because I randomly, my parents stuck me in this race just for fun, and I went out and won this 10K, and I was like, I think I can run. That was really fun. And I ran a 5:40 mile in the 6th grade, you know, as part of PE. It was the, you know, Presidential Physical Fitness Challenge. I was like, okay, well, I'll put that on the back burner. I think I might be able to run. And I really loved it because it was this great outlet. I wasn't the best socially mm-hmm. because I was so competitive.
Let's talk a little bit about that. When you say you weren't your best socially, what do you mean by that?
I was really competitive and hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never that cutthroat kid that didn't want other people to do well. I was just really hard on myself. I had to be the best student. I had to be the best tennis player. I was always working super hard. If I didn't get the perfect grades, I would beat myself up. And so there was already a little bit of the signs of, you know, maybe that addiction that...
Overachieving.
I was addicted to perfection. You know, that was my first addiction, even at a really, really young age. I remember remember fifth and sixth grade, I had to win. They wouldn't let a kid do this now, but I had to win every certificate that they offered. Social studies, math, you know, spelling. I had to win the spelling bee. If I didn't win everything, life was not okay for Meredith Childs was my name. Like, it just was not okay.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned addiction several times. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, I think alcoholism was your addiction, and you're still in treatment, I think you told me.
Yes. I mean, I think I'll always be, you know, I've learned over the years through many struggles, you know, I'm not someone that just picked it up the first time, you know, went going in, picking up a first white chip or, you know, realizing, oh, this is going to come easy to me. I struggle. And it's because, again, I'm so hard on myself. And in so many other ways, you know, as we go through my story, you'll see that many other things have come easy to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done some pretty crazy things that almost like superhero kind of things where I'm going to put the cape on and it's going to be all fine. And recovery has not been that way for me. And that's why I've struggled.
Difficult.
It's been very difficult. Okay. Very, very difficult. Well, alcohol is my kryptonite.
Okay. We are going to take a break and come back into the show. And I think it'd be great for the audience to understand this because, you know, so many people are going through things and they look at other people and think they're not going through anything.
The Faith Connection Show has expanded its territory. Every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., it's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify, TuneIn, UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go. Hey, Faith Connection Show, would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show. Here's a CGM Entertainment music feature, gospel and inspirational artist, Blanche McAllister Dots. Enjoy.
joy. I'll always bless your name with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. My heart's overwhelmed with joy. Lord, I'll always, I promise to always, I'll always bless your sweet name.
The Faith Connection Show has expanded its territory. Every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., it's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify, TuneIn, UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go. Hey, Faith Connection Show would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show.
It's the Faith Connection Show.
Okay, we're back. Let's roll back just a moment and let's look at some of the other things that you have gone through. Now, you went through a sexual trauma early on in your life, I think around 16
years old, yes.
Tell the listeners a little bit about how you...
Yes, so I, unfortunately, through all the, craziness of me being so hyper-focused and, playing 8 hours a day and constantly, studying, I used to dictate my notes into a tape recorder and sleep to them. And, then I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do more fitness before I went and did early morning practice with my coach. So I wasn't really well-versed on the boy channel.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't real aware about all of that stuff going on. And I went to Olympic Festival in Minnesota and then on to Grass Court Nationals. And I also was kind of a gawky kid, and my hair grew 6 inches in a year. My hair grew out. I got my braces off, and all of a sudden I was getting attention from boys that I didn't know what to do with. And I traveled a lot from the time I was 10 years old. I traveled a lot for tennis by myself. I went to California alone when I was 10 from Memphis. I was traveling to Olympic Festival by myself. I was traveling to Philadelphia for grass courts. And I think in some ways I wasn't prepared for some of the attention I got, and I was not prepared for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get raped at a tournament by a peer 2.5 years older than me. I did not tell anyone. I was very ashamed. It's not like now where they tell you, come right out. And, it's a very different era. Think about it. That was 30 years ago.
That was before the Me Too movement.
30 years ago. So it was a long, long time ago. Very different era. And I had, my facade was cracked. Mm-hmm. This perfection, like I had something really horrible happen and I didn't know how to talk about it. And I didn't for 12 years and I stuffed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out sideways eventually and definitely led to my addiction.
My gracious. Now, after you were raped the first time, then it ended up...
It happened many other times, same people involved, yes.
Okay.
Because I didn't disclose.
And they felt it was okay.
Yes.
And you were 16 years old.
Yes.
You didn't tell your parents about it?
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
So they had no idea this was going on.
I think looking back, the change in my personality,
mm-hmm.
I missed a month of school. They thought I had chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm not a depressed person. I'm a really bubbly kind of, especially at that age. Mm-hmm. I was really happy kid, constantly on the go. And I just went from 10 to zero and not wanting to leave the house and not wanting to go to school and really just a complete change in psyche.
Now, how long did you endure this over
9 months.
9 months. Mm-hmm. Okay, 9 months you endured this and no one knew.
No.
And you were 16 then?
16, yes.
Okay. Now, when did the addiction start? Did it not start?
No. Like I said, my first addiction was really to covering it up and making everything look like it was okay on the outside. So I threw myself even more so into my tennis. I was addicted to getting the best scholarship I possibly could. I wanted to go top five in the country. Don't look at me. You know, my grades had to be the best. I wanted to be top five in my class. Magna cum laude, Beta Club, National Honor Society. You know, like everything, every accolade I could possibly glam on, I had to have. And it worked. And I did that for a period of time. But eventually, you know, tennis. And I did go to all those great schools. I did, you know, have a great career at Vanderbilt. But, you know, I got married. Married very young. I had kids very young.
Now,
and then
we are going to take a break and come back into the show. And I think it'd be great for the audience to understand this because, you know, so many people are going through things and they look at other people and think they're not going through anything. And
I always joke that, especially with our homeless men and women, you know, they take a look at me and they think that girl's never had a bad day in her life. And I'm like, hey, that's a reverse stigma. You know, you don't want me to judge you by your cover. Don't look at me and think I've never had a bad day. And then the ones that have been around a while, because I have been doing this for 7 years, are like, no, you need to listen to her story, because she may look different on the outside, but on the inside, she's going through the exact same things we are, you know, addiction, you know, sexual trauma, depression, anxiety, all of these same things that we're dealing with, she's dealing with. And if you just listen to her story, we're more alike than we are different. So that's why our program works. And it's why I wanted to start it, and why I also want to give them the help that I got so freely because of mm-hmm. my privilege. I want to offer them because they don't have it. No one wants to help them.
One last thing, and I know we're going to have to go, but you know, I hope we'll be able to have you back on the show again.
Thank you for having me.
This is like an onion. We just keep taking one layer off after another. But there's so much I've read on you, and I know you've done so many great things. But you know, the greatest challenge in life is to do what you can do for others other than yourself. And I think you've met that challenge. I can understand addiction on your part, because it seems like to me that everything you do is an addiction. Especially the
go big or go home.
Yeah, you know. But I'm extremely proud that you started the program in Charlotte, because there is a tremendous need. Charlotte is an extremely fast-growing city, and seems like that we are generating more homeless people and more people that are having issues, and they're coming here looking for an answer. And it seems like to me you are providing a solution. And that's what the Faith Connection Show is all about, allowing people to connect to people and find out that they're not the only ones. Even people who are successful have come through a lot to reach that point of success. You ought to be applauded, because you have come through tremendous struggles, and then you came out on the other side with your head on straight. And I think that's fantastic.
Well, struggle is a byproduct of success. So, I mean, I love the Michael Jordan quote, that when he's talking about how many times he missed the game winning shot, and that's why he succeeds.
Right.
Not because of making it so many times, it's because of how many times he missed it.
Well, it seems like to me you are following the right philosophy then. Tell our audience how they can connect with your program. If they've got a problem or know someone that needs your services, how would they connect with your program?
So the easiest thing, and that we try to keep this really simple, the easiest thing to do is to come on a Tuesday or Friday morning. So today was a program day. Our doors open at 9 a.m. and we are at 901 North Tryon, Suite E. So we're up the steps. The Charlotte Area Fund is in the same building as we are. A lot of people know where that is. We are right across North Tryon from the Charlotte Center for Urban Ministry. Many people know where that is. So right out the back gate from the Urban Ministry Center. We're in the long red brick building, 901 North Tryon, Tuesday or Friday. Doors open at 9 a.m. and anyone can fill out a form, join our program. But we are open any day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and you can come into open office hours and meet. Abraham is usually he's one of our formerly homeless people who has run several half marathons, and He's been with us now for 6 years, and we hired him. He's our program coordinator now, which is pretty awesome. He's always there, and he's fantastic.
How do they donate?
So you can go to runningworks.org. That's our website. You can donate directly there. We're on Instagram at runningworks, on Twitter at running_works, and on Facebook at runningworks12. We have a really big, awesome gala on September 28th at LACA Projects, and it's the most unique event in Charlotte. I can guarantee you that. I always swore I would never have an event where all of our people were not included, and it's all about challenging the stigma associated with the homeless. It's called Metamorphosis, because it's about the change you see in them, and they're all dressed up in suits and gowns. All of our homeless men, women, and children are there. They're walking the runway in couture gowns and suits and by a couture designer, Luis Machacao from Peru, and they are mentored by influencers from the community like Roman and Heather Harper, Gerald and Nilu Henderson, Donna and Alvaro de Molina, and they have to get their own hands dirty for 5 months mentoring our people before they walk the runway with them, raising money for our cause. Mm-hmm. And it all culminates on September 28th. And you can buy tickets online at runningworks.org. It's an incredible event in its fourth year.
All right. Thank you very much, Meredith. It's been great having you on the show today. Listen, give us a website and a contact number.
Our website is runningworks.org, and our contact number directly is 980-500-8786. Extension 901 is directly to the office, so like 901 North Tryon.
Fantastic. Well, it's been good having you on the show, Meredith, and we're going to look to have you back, and maybe we might get a chance to cover some of these events of yours.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Inspirational word from Dr. David Miller before the show begins.
You know what? Your time is limited, so don't waste it living somebody else's life.
The Faith Connection Show has expanded its territory. Every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., it's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify, TuneIn, UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go.
It's the Faith Connection.
Hey, Faith Connection Show would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show. Here's part two. Enjoy.
We have in the studio with us today Meredith DeLory. And Meredith DeLory runs a program in the Charlotte area, a fantastic program. And I met her at an event, and I was impressed with her program. She has a program called Running Works. And that program is designed to help homeless people get on their feet. And it's uniquely done, something that I've never seen before, is done with long-distance running. And so it's just great having Meredith with us today, because I wanted her to talk about her program. And most of all, many of us have challenges in life, and Meredith have come through so many struggles, and to look at her, you'd never know that she's been through what she's been through. Meredith, it's good to have you with us in the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the introduction.
Let's roll back just a moment, and let's look at some of the other things that you have gone through. Now, you went through a sexual trauma early on in your life, I think around 16
years old, yes.
Tell the listeners a little bit about how you...
Yes, so I, unfortunately, through all the, craziness of me being so hyper-focused and, playing 8 hours a day and constantly, studying, I used to dictate my notes into a tape recorder and sleep to them. And, then I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do more fitness before I went and did early morning practice with my coach. So I wasn't really well-versed in the, on the boy channel.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, real aware about all of that stuff going on. And I, I went to Olympic Festival in Minnesota and then on to Grass Court Nationals. And I also was kind of a gawky kid, and I grew 6 inches in a year. My hair grew out. I got my braces off, and all of a sudden I was getting attention from boys that I didn't know what to do with. And I traveled a lot from the time I was 10 years old. I traveled a lot for tennis by myself. I went to California alone when I was 10 from Memphis. I was traveling to Olympic Festival by myself. I was traveling to Philadelphia for grass courts. And I think in some ways I wasn't prepared for some of the attention I got, and I was not prepared for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get raped at a tournament by a peer 2.5 years older than me. I did not tell anyone. I was very ashamed. It's not like now where they tell you, come right out. And, it was a very different era. Think about it. That was 30 years ago.
That was before the Me Too movement.
30 years ago. So it was a long, long time ago, very different era. And I had, my facade was cracked. Mm-hmm. This perfection, I had something really horrible happen and I didn't know how to talk about it. And I didn't for 12 years and I stuffed it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out sideways eventually and definitely led to my addiction.
My gracious. Now, after you were raped the first time, then it ended up...
It happened many other times, same people involved.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I didn't disclose.
And they felt it was okay.
Yes.
And you were 16 years old.
Yes.
You didn't tell your parents about it?
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
So they had no idea this was going on.
I think looking back, the change in my personality,
mm-hmm.
I missed a month of school. They thought I had chronic fatigue syndrome. I'm not a depressed person. I'm a really bubbly kind of, especially at that age. Gosh, mm-hmm. I was a really happy kid, constantly on the go. And I just went from 10 to zero and not wanting to leave the house and not wanting to go to school and really just a complete change in psyche.
Now, how long did you endure this over
9 months?
9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 9 months you endured this and no one knew.
No.
And you were 16 then.
16, yes.
Okay. Now, when did the addiction start? Did it not start?
No. Like I said, my first addiction was really to covering it up and making everything look like it was okay on the outside. So I threw myself even more so into my tennis. I was addicted to getting the best scholarship I possibly could. I wanted to go top five in the country. Don't look at me. My grades had to be the best. I wanted to be top five in my class. Magna cum laude, beta club, National Honor Society, everything, every accolade I could could possibly glam on, I had to have. And it worked. And I did that for a period of time. But eventually, you know, tennis, and I did go to all those great schools. I did, you know, have a great career at Vanderbilt. But, you know, I got married very young. I had kids very young.
Now,
and then
we are going to take a break and come back into the show. And I think it'd be great for the audience to understand this, because, you know, so many people are going through things and they look at other people and think they're not going through anything. And
I always joke that, especially with our homeless men and women, you know, they take a look at me and they think, that girl's never had a bad day in her life. And I'm like, hey, that's a reverse stigma. You know, you don't want me to judge you by your cover. Don't look at me and think I've never had a bad day. And then the ones that have been around a while, because I have been doing this for 7 years, are like, no. You need to listen to her story, because she may look different on the outside, but on the inside, she's going through the exact same things we are. You know, addiction, you know, sexual trauma, depression, anxiety, all of these same things that we're dealing with, she's dealing with. And if you just listen to her story, then we're more alike than we are different. So that's why our program works. And it's why I wanted to start it, and why I also want to give them the help that I got so freely because of my privilege. I want to offer them, because they don't have it. No one wants to help them.
We're going to take a quick break here.
Here's a CGM Entertainment music feature, gospel and inspirational artist, Blanche McAllister Dykes. Enjoy.
Show has expanded its territory. Every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. It's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify. Tune in,
UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go. Hey, Faith Connection Show, would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com, and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show.
It's the Faith Connection Show.
Okay, we're back. All right. Now, I want to ask you a couple other questions. You got married at what age?
22.
22. Okay. And when you got married at 22, the gentleman you married, was he...
Also a tennis player.
Right.
And,
okay.
He knew a little bit about it. Not in depth. He knew something had happened. He was like, something happened to you.
Okay.
I mean, you couldn't have... Because he was married to me and in physical relations with me, he was like, something happened to you. Why do you ask me the weirdest questions? You know, do you only like me because of my body? You know, like just crazy questions that normal people don't ask.
Right.
So he thought something had happened, but we never went into depth about it until I was 28 years old and in treatment.
Okay. And when did you divorce?
Not until I was in my early 40s. Yeah.
Early
so
40s.
Okay.
So you went through treatment while you were married.
Yeah. He's been through the ringer with me. We're still very, very close. He's still one of my closest friends. We're very, very close. We have a great relationship. He was always extremely supportive, and he's the father of my children.
Okay, and you have two boys.
Yes, two boys.
And both of them are runners, right?
Yes. Yeah. I have one that's running at Furman, which is a very, very good running school.
Uh-huh.
Two-time Olympian coach in the steeplechase.
Uh-huh.
My son was a multiple-time state champion at Providence Day. And then the other one I coached at Charlotte Country Day.
At Providence Day?
Yes, my other son.
Yeah, my son graduated from Providence
great.
Day. Okay. Well, listen, what I'd like to talk just a bit about, I know we've talked through your addiction. We've talked about the sexual trauma that sort of pushed you into addiction at a later point. When did you decide you were going to go get help?
So, you know, the first time I really, there were multiple things that were happening, and, you know, they say it's a moment of clarity and willingness, and I definitely had one of those. My alcoholism progression is very real. I'm a textbook case of the progression of alcoholism. You know, when I first came into recovery, I still was finding the differences, and I was listening to people tell their stories. I was like, oh, I haven't done that, I haven't done that, I haven't done that, and maybe I'm not so bad. Maybe I'm just a binge drinker. And it's out there. It's waiting. Your addiction's doing push-ups in the parking lot. Mine certainly was. And all of those things that I thought were so different about me, and that maybe I was still this glamorous person that could drink champagne with, you know, out at parties or a glass of wine with dinner. I don't ever want just one.
Okay.
And so it really got there. I had to really be willing to take a hard look at myself and realize that addiction does not discriminate at all. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. I never want just one ever.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanting one or trying to drink one is the most miserable existence ever for someone who's an actual alcoholic.
Okay. Now, after you got into treatment, and how long was it before you started running Works?
So I got into treatment the first time, and then that was in 2002. In 2006, I had another stint in treatment that was really awesome, and I got some real help with my trauma. And I spent 3 months in inpatient trauma treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's when the rape came out and all the other
stuff. That's when I really did some hard work on that and spent some time at a place called The Ranch in Nashville, outside of Nashville. It's called The Recovery Ranch. And it's really a pretty special place. And I realized that I had something to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, I'm not a victim. And I'm really not a survivor. I like to call myself a thriver. And that...
very good.
Yeah, that my story is something that, if you know, I can either wallow in it or I can help people with it.
Right.
And I choose to help people with it. And that if I don't put my story to work, then it will eat me. It will consume me alive, and I will continue relapsing over it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really also realized that my privilege afforded me this awesome access to care, and that there's so many people out there that don't have that.
Right.
You know, they're just overlooked, for lack of better words. Not only do they not really even know how to get access to treatment, but no one's helping them with their trauma. So we offer direct access to mental health care and resources for substance abuse care.
Through Running Works.
Through Running Works, yes.
Okay.
And it's evolved into that. When I first started it, it really, you know, I had all this treatment, but then it was running that saved my life.
Right.
You know, so I wanted to bring that hook in with running because I had all this access to treatment, but really it was, you know, I had a Forrest Gump moment. I was running a race that was over 100 miles, literally all at once in the desert. And I'm like, you know what? I can really help people with running because it's so cathartic. These point-to-point races are cathartic. All the values accrued through running. This is where it's at. The hook is running, like getting people in, creating a family atmosphere, the teamwork involved, the discipline it takes to do this. This is how we get people in with this hook. And then it has evolved into getting them in with the hook, the volunteerism component, the accountability of having them show up, the team and family. 8 out of 10 people who come into our headquarters have substance abuse and mental health issues, but 10 out of 10 stay because of the power of the team and the family. I will tell you that. They will tell you that. I will tell you that. And then they're coming to the races. We're having family meals. We're doing a reentry into society. We're challenging the stigma associated with homelessness and addiction. And I really am proud of that.
How many people in the program?
Gosh, we serve 200 people a week.
A week?
Weekly.
Okay, now do you provide housing for all
We do,
people?
Yes.
How are you able to find that many places?
So we serve 200 people a week, but if you look at that, that's across our 5 programs. So
okay.
We may have 25 people we serve, 25 women we're serving at Dove's Nest. We have another 45 of the kids that are DSS custody, you know, that are at the Palmetto School. Mm-hmm. We have 50 that are coming into the headquarters at the Running Works program. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got another 20 at Rowan Helping Ministries. Mm-hmm. But the crux of the program, the ones who are asking for housing, are at our Running Works headquarters. It's those 40 mm-hmm. that are coming in, and those 40 come on Tuesdays and Fridays. And then we have open office hours Monday through Friday from 9 to 1 where they can make appointments for mental health. They can visit our housing coordinator. They can make an appointment with me. They can do their laundry. They can get interview clothes. They can get toiletry items.
Now, where's all this done?
This is at 901 North Tryon,
okay.
Where you were, where I met you.
Right.
And those people are the ones that are vying for housing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've housed 30 people in the last 9 months.
And where are you finding the housing?
So we're partnered with the Lotus Campaign.
Okay.
And the Lotus Campaign was actually partially because I don't believe in the voucher system because I believe it's a handout. So we're working with a master lease program. We are the lessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're helping people become self-sufficient by working on a sliding scale of rental subsidy. So when they come in, we take them through 3 tiers. The 3-tier, you know, they come in and they need to fill out paperwork where we know whether they have ID, social security card. What do you have on your record? You know, are we trying to expunge something on your record? Or is it something that we can work with Lotus where they're going to waive the background check?
Okay.
Do you have evictions that we can work with? Because even if they have evictions, we can still get them housing.
Right. So your agency actually stands as the leasing entity.
Yes.
And you allow the client to piggyback on your good
yes.
name.
We pay the rent up front, and then they're paying a portion of the rent to us based on what their employment is. So their employment, they need to make typically either have SSI or make $1,000 a month.
Right.
And then typically in the beginning, we ask for 30% of mean income. So that's typical.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully within 12 to 18 months, that percentage increases as we work with them, as we get them mental health help. We do an assessment. We get them mental health help. They're seeing our counselor once a week, one-on-one. We have mental health groups, substance abuse groups that they're required to go to. They're volunteering with us on the weekend, as I mentioned, at races. We're helping them get food stamps. Food pantries, we have referrals to those. We give them a monthly bus pass that they have to earn through our point system. We work with many domestic violence victims. So interpersonal safety, that's near and dear to my heart for obvious reasons. Many of them have children. We're helping the kids get into schools near wherever we place them. We help with all of those resources.
My gracious. Okay, the program seems to have a lot of different components. Now, I know we won't be able to get through all of them on the show, but the bottom line is that this program grew out of the trauma that you personally
yes.
went through. And I asked you earlier, but I don't remember, maybe before we went on there, but can you tell me what motivated you to start this program in Charlotte?
Well, and that's a great question. And I feel so strongly about this. People ask me this a lot. So originally, you know, when I was racing professionally, I was raising money. I did some crazy stuff, which you've probably read about. You know, at one point I did, I was racing Ironmans, and I, Ironman is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, and a full marathon. And right. I had this crazy idea that I was going to do three Ironmans in three countries in three consecutive weekends. France, Austria, and Switzerland. Mm. And I did Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
It
had never been done, especially by a woman. Mm-hmm. And they had actually never even been offered in three consecutive Sundays. It was because of the Women's World Cup, which is timely that this is right now that we're talking about this. And so they were in France, Austria, and Switzerland, and I'm dragging my bike around myself and putting it together myself. And I was doing them pretty quick, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like I was just out there doing a 17-hour Ironman. I was doing them in like 11 and a half hours, 12 hours, especially back-to-back. That's pretty quick.
And when was this?
This was 2011. Okay. And I had qualified for the World Championships at Texas, at Ironman Texas, 4 weeks before I started this whole thing. So I did one right before I did the three back to back. And then I did an Ultraman, which is 2.5 times the Ironman, 4 weeks after the three I did consecutively. Mm-hmm. So it was a 10K swim, a 265 mile bike, and a 52.4 mile run. And they only let 35 people into that race. And I got second. And it was like another whole crazy thing. And the point of that is I was raising money for this other nonprofit because at the time, my ex-husband, who was a banker, he used to like to have his friends be like, she's never going to finish all that. Let's put some money on it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to put a charity backing this. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a funny story. Like, so I was raising money for the Challenged Athletes Foundation. People were throwing money at it. Like, she's never going to finish all that. There's no way. That's insane. And I raised $60,000.
My goodness.
And it was for people who have no limbs, who are trying to do Ironmans and need prosthetics. And I love the nonprofit. I still support the nonprofit. It's a great charity, but it's in California.
No. Okay.
And so I realized, I have the passion to do this. B, I have the fundraising capacity. And C, I really enjoyed it. And I feel like I need to be doing, like, this is my calling. This is my calling. And who are the people that I feel the most kinship with? They're the homeless. Why? Because they have trauma. They have substance abuse issues. They're overlooked and they're just like me. Mm. And that's why I chose to do it in Charlotte, because I want to do it in my own backyard. We've had many opportunities because of the national press we've gotten with Sports Illustrated, Runner's World, National, NPR, to have programs all over the country. And I keep saying we could have 50 in Charlotte. There's so many people we can help right here in our own backyard. And I get really persnickety about going and starting a nonprofit in Africa when we have people right here we can feed and people right here we can educate and people right here we can run with and get housing for. And let's not go build houses in Costa Rica when we can build them right here. So that's kind of my soapbox on that.
And I hear your passion.
Yeah.
Now, one last thing, and I know we're going to have to go, but you know, I hope we'll be able to have you back on the show again.
Thank you for having me.
This is like an onion. We just keep taking one layer off after another. But there's so much I've read on you, and I know you've done so many great things. But you know, the greatest challenge in life is to do what you can do for others other than yourself. And I think you've met that challenge. I can understand addiction on your part, because it seems like to me that everything you do is an addiction. Especially the
go big or go home.
Yeah, you know. So, but I don't know about anybody else, but I'm extremely proud that you started the program in Charlotte, because there is a tremendous need. Charlotte is an extremely fast growing city, and seems like that we are generating more homeless people and more people that are having issues, and they're coming here looking for an answer. And it seems like to me you are providing a solution. And that's what the Faith Connection Show is all about, allowing people to connect to people and find out that they're not the only ones. Even
yes.
people who are successful have come through a lot to reach that point of success. You ought to be applauded, because you have come through tremendous struggles, and then you came out on the other side with your head on straight. And I think that's fantastic.
Well, struggle is a byproduct of success. So, I mean, I love the Michael Jordan quote, that when he's talking about how many times he missed the game winning shot, and that's why he succeeds. Right. Not because of making it so many times. It's because of how many times he missed it.
Well, it seems like to me you are following the right philosophy there. Tell our audience how they can connect with your program. If they've got a problem or know someone that needs your services, how would they connect with your program?
So the easiest thing, and that we try to keep this really simple, the easiest thing to do is to come on a Tuesday or Friday morning. So today was a program day. Our doors open at 9 a.m. and we are at 901 North Tryon, Suite E. So we're up the steps. The Charlotte Area Fund is in the same building as we are. A lot of people know where that is. We are right across North Tryon from the Charlotte Center for Urban Ministry. Many people know where that is. So right out the back gate from the Urban Ministry Center, we're in the long red brick building, 901 North Tryon, Tuesday or Friday. Doors open at 9 a.m. and anyone can fill out a form, join our program. But we are open any day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and you can come into open office hours and meet. Abraham is usually he's one of our formerly homeless people who has run several half marathons, and he's been with us now for 6 years, and we hired him. He's our program coordinator now, okay, which is pretty awesome. He's always there, okay, and he's fantastic.
How do they donate?
So you can go to runningworks.org. That's our website. You can donate directly there. We're on Instagram at runningworks, on Twitter at running_works, and on Facebook at runningworks12. We have a really big, awesome gala on September 28th at LACA Projects, and it's the most unique event in Charlotte. I can guarantee you that. I always swore I would never have an event where all of our people were not included, and it's all about challenging the stigma associated with the homeless. It's called Metamorphosis, because it's about the change you see in them, and they're all dressed up in suits and gowns. All of our homeless men, women, and children are there. They're walking the runway in couture gowns and suits by a couture designer, Luis Machacao from Peru, and they are mentored by influencers from the community like Roman and Heather Harper, Gerald and Nilu Henderson, Donna and Alvaro de Molina, and they have to get their own hands dirty for 5 months mentoring our people before they walk the runway with them, raising money for our cause. Mm-hmm. And it all culminates on September 28th, and you can buy tickets online at runningworks.org. It's an incredible event in its fourth year.
All right. Thank you very much, Meredith. It's been great having you on the show today. Listen, give us a website and a contact number.
Our website is runningworks.org, and our contact number directly is 980-500-8786. Extension 901 is directly to the office, so like 901 North Tryon.
Fantastic. Well, it's been good having you on the show, Meredith, and we're going to look to have you back, and maybe we might get a chance to cover some of these events of yours.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
It's the Wave Connection Show, and it's here to help.